Howdy,
hello.
I'm Jake.
Thanks
nice to meet you.
How are you? Thank you.
Got you, Caitlin and Lily, I presume?
Yeah. Yes. Cool. Thanks for having us.
Of course, I'm happy to have you.
So yeah, I mean, the first thing you see is my general stereo setup, my tuner, cassette deck, the CD player, my turntable, the big speakers I also got out of Goodwill, some of my old stuff in the corner. This right here is my super tightened down, like, personal collection of only ultra rare stuff. Almost all of my favorite records are going to be Zamrock stuff, because that's like sort of my biggest thing.
Jake McInturf is a 22-year-old engineering student at the University of Maryland, and he's describing his favorite music genre. A genre we'd never heard of.
He's kind of the ultimate music nerd. He plays the guitar, he's the archivist at his school's radio station, and he collects obscure records. It's this love of music that led him to stumble upon a little-known chapter in rock history and fall in love.
The African accent singing English vocals, which I thought was interesting in the first place, drenched in this super psychedelic, you know, reverb sound. This is like from outer space. It was immediately gripping.
Some of Jake's vinyl records are falling apart with cigarette holes burned into the covers and dust etched into the grooves. Others are shining like they were just freshly pressed with the plastic slip covers still intact.
So first off, you're getting that sort of garage rock, really like just unprofessional is the best way I can put it. This super homegrown, you know, fuzzed out guitar sound. Naturally, they just had a groovy bone in their body. This is probably one of my rarest titles, if not my rarest, Zamrock album. It's Youth Power by Blackfoot. I will tell you all the story.
This record, along with everything you'll hear today, is from a place and time you might not expect.
They're from Zambia, a small country in southern Africa that is home to a unique era of rock history called Zamrock.
Zamrock took Zambia by storm in the 1970s, and this music has beaten the odds to survive and inspire fans like Jake across half a century and half the world.
Let me get out Kingdom of Heaven, because that is a absolute awesome LP. So that's later on in the Zamrock canon. So this is when, first of all, the country is starting to listen to more disco. It's a lot less garage rocky by this point, but they still have the crazy fuzzed out guitars. The original African beat rhythm in the background along with it, it's killer. It's absolutely killer.
And Jake's a lot more than just a fan. He's part of an international movement to bring Zamrock back. Without people like Jake, these records might have been completely lost to time.
This is Vinyl Revival, a story about music lovers like Jake and how they've given Zamrock a whole new life. We're your hosts, Kate Kelly
and Lily Howard. Today we're going on a musical journey from Maryland to Zambia and back, complete with obscure Facebook groups, gemstone mines, and a 72-year-old rock star who finally gets his day in the sun. Baby, come on, you know
my love is true. Baby, come on.
And when I heard that, I was like, whoa, okay, who are these guys and where are they? You know, it was just really something completely different to me. I didn't even know where Zambia was.
And people would be walking by and turn their heads and look at my records and, you know, they've got this look of shock and they're like, these things are still there? They're still, like, where did you get these?
I'll upload a record and I'll get 70-year-old Zambians just telling me how much this music meant to them and how they haven't heard it in 40 years.
Now other people were listening to that music and they were saying, where was this music? How come we didn't hear about this Zamrock?
I first heard about it watching a YouTube video by Noble Records, who's Dylan's now a friend of mine, he's the guy who runs it, back in my freshman year of college, so that would have been 2020. He was doing like a podcast with a friend of his that was like a musician. And the musician was talking about some of like the cooler records in his collection he wanted to show off. And he brings out this box set, The Story of Zamrock, right? And I saw the cover. It was Musi Atunia.
The black and yellow album cover shows five young men in a mixture of traditional African clothes and hippie style.
They look like proper rockers, but to be like proper African rockers, that was something I wasn't familiar at the time. These guys had some serious style to them.
Before long, Jake was hooked on Zamrock.
It's my thing now. It's just, I was so baffled by it. And it wasn't just cool. It wasn't just a novelty. It was genuinely good. And I fell in love with it.
After meeting Jake in his apartment, he invited us to come see him at the campus radio station sometime. He has a show every Tuesday called Lost Vinyl. The studio is up a yellow graffitied staircase through a door covered in stickers in a small, sunlit room where Jake is playing and explaining his favorite songs for whoever's listening.
Turntable's off, good. All right, and this is how it starts. Okay, cool. We're on 90.5, and we are going to do an entirely Zamrock show. For those unfamiliar with Zamrock, it is the lost Zambian psychedelic rock scene from the 70s, and absolutely my favorite genre of psychedelic rock. Now I know and I breathe all the things I've kind of seen. Ever since I was younger, I used to dream of dreams of you. But I just don't really realize. Zamrock is the soul, the spirit of the music. It's like the birth of a nation, essentially, in the music. You can hear the excitement that everybody has, like, to be their own independent nation, you know, to have finally driven out the wealthy 1% that were controlling everything. We're making Zambian music. We're experiencing our own culture in full force for the first time.
To understand what Jake is saying here, we need to talk about what was going on in Zambia that set the stage for a musical revolution.
The British colonized the region in the late 1800s and established a mining company that stripped the land of its natural resources. In 1964, the rise of nationalism and a large Christian movement led to Zambian independence.
And luck would have it that Zambia's first president, Kenneth Kaunda, was a musician. He mandated that over 90% of all music played on the radio be Zambian.
During the Zamrock era, it was one of the only eras in Zambia where like young native people had actual money and they were able to actually go out and buy record players and buy records.
As the 70s gave way to the 80s, disco took over Zamrock as the dominant genre in Zambia. At the same time, the price of copper, Zambia's main export, plummeted worldwide and the country's debt started to grow. Record players became less affordable and making a living with music became even more difficult.
And then came HIV. By 1990, over 10,000 Zambians died of the virus. That number quadrupled just 5 years later. Many Zamrock musicians were among those lost.
The genre has faded into obscurity for those who weren't alive at the time, and most young Zambians aren't familiar with it today. But every once in a while, you can still find a Zamrock record if, like Jake, you know where to look. Tell everyone the storm is here. Watch the sun
disappear. In Facebook ads, Jake introduced himself as an American who loves Zamrock records and is willing to pay a lot of money for them.
I put like a picture of most of the recognizable covers available. Anytime anybody messaged me about them, I'd send them the full list. Probably what I first was like, okay, $100, right? Because that gets people excited. Now, of course, the records are worth a lot more than that. But most of the time, they're going to be finding, you know, copies that don't have a sleeve, don't have anything. You know, in general, the record's completely trashed.
Jake's goal was to get quality records, record them, and upload the songs to his YouTube channel called Bull Records for anyone to hear for free. He wasn't trying to make money in the process, he just wanted to help bring the genre back to life for Zambians and rock lovers across the globe.
On the off chance someone found a high-quality Zamrock record, Jake would pay them up to $500. Jake was willing to gamble money on this process, but he quickly realized that for many of the Zambians he hired, record hunting wasn't about the music and it wasn't a game.
Some of the people that I trained, I would send them around the country. I paid for bus fare, I paid for lodging, I paid for food. They ever needed anything in general, actually. I felt a lot of responsibility, you know, as I got to know these people, to take care of them, even though I was like 19, you know, when I was doing this. And a lot of these people are adults with children, and they tried to call me, you know, boss and stuff. I didn't like that. I don't know, it was weird, it was surreal.
On top of the stress of finding records in the first place, sometimes Jake got scammed. More than a handful of times, he sent money and never got a record in return. Since he first put a Zamrock album up on his YouTube channel in July 2022, Jake estimates he spent just around 14 grand trying to preserve the genre.
And he's not the only one doing this. He's joined a niche group of YouTubers who want to share Zamrock albums with the world.
Shane Muldowney is one of those YouTubers. He's a 31-year-old from Tucson, Arizona, who's been in the Zamrock preservation game for 15 years now. His YouTube channel has over 3,000 subscribers.
For so long, I would see images of these records online, and it'd be 10 years before I could hear them, and just always wondering, what does that record sound like? And so now that I'm in a position to hear them, a lot of what I do is putting them up on YouTube for free so that anybody can listen to them.
Only a fraction of Zamrock albums have been reissued since the 70s. For an album from that time to be reissued, you need the master tapes, the final, high-quality recording that can be pressed into new vinyl. Master tapes are even rarer today than the original Zamrock records.
For fans like Jake and Shane, the ultimate goal would be for Zamrock albums to be licensed and reissued from the master tapes. In the meantime, it's enough to make as much music as they can accessible to audiences new and old.
It's blown me away where I'll upload a record and I'll get 70-year-old Zambians just telling me how much this music meant to them and how they haven't heard it in 40 years. In one instance, I even had the brother of one of the guitar players and vocalist of a band called The Tinkles comment that he hadn't heard his brother's voice in, I believe it was 30 years, because he just doesn't have the record anymore, and very few people do.
And this effort to breathe new life into Zamrock, it's working. Some Zambian musicians today have even been sampling old Zamrock tracks in their work.
Like Duncan Sodala, an IT worker by day, he runs a record shop out of his garage called Time Machine Zambia. He also moonlights as a hip-hop artist under the stage name Holstar. Hey yo, rock beats, we did it again. It's Big Holstar, Zamrock Cypher, listen. Beats. Got a side hustle for my side hustle. 50 cent with the power, you homies lack muscle. Lack luster, you're too tired, I can't puncture. A Tesla in Dunduwezi, you can't function.
For me, being a hip-hop artist, I'm like, how can we make this ours as well? Make it ours again, like, so people can know that, oh, the young people are into it as well.
Like Jake, Duncan wants to bring both Zamrock and records back to Zambia. On the best days, someone who remembers the Zamrock era will come across his shop.
And people would be walking by and turn their heads and look at my records and, you know, they've got this look of shock and they're like, these things are still there. They're still like, where did you get these? And I'm like, oh, you want to listen to some records? Then they'll tell you stories about when they were young and their dad used to play the music. And, you know, obviously maybe their dad is no more. It means a lot just to make people happy. I've been rapping since demo tapes and CDs. Gave you rap giants with longevities.
While I was word playing, you were rapping basic. Now you word playing, I'm on some outer space. As we learn more about Zamrock, one band kept coming up again and again. Which? The band's title is an acronym for We Intend to Cause Havoc. Hell in the morning.
This song you're hearing right now is from Witch's most famous album. It's called Lazy Bones.
Lazy Bones is considered, though, like the Zamrock tour de force, right? It's considered the masterpiece of the Zamrock genre, and definitely Witch's masterpiece.
Emmanuel Chanda was the frontman singer for Witch in its heyday. His stage name was Jaggery, inspired by Mick Jagger. He was similarly known for jumping around the stage and putting on a big show for the crowd all night, with his electric energy pulsating into the dawn.
As one of the biggest rock stars at the time, Jaggery seemed to us like almost a founding father of Zamrock. He's in his 70s now, still living in Zambia, and we really wanted to talk to him.
Jake offered to help us get Jaggery's number.
And I've been able to talk to his bandmates, and everybody just talks about how awesome he is and how nice of a guy he is.
There's actually a documentary from 2019 about Witch and Jaggery. The film was shot and directed by an Italian music blogger named Gio Arlotta.
It all started in, I think, 2012, when a good friend of mine sent me a Strange Dream by Witch. And when I heard that, I was like, whoa, okay, this is something completely different. Definitely something that's familiar in a lot of ways, but also very exotic in some other ways. And so that sort of got me interested in the whole genre. You know, I saw the cover of Lazy Bones, and I was like, who are these guys and where are they?
At the time, Gio was writing about rock shows and decided to go to Zambia to meet Jaggery.
We're meeting in a hotel, and she arrived, I think, about 2 hours late. And he just walked into this hotel restaurant wearing white trousers, a yellow Oxford button-down shirt, and a guitar swung across his back. He's like, hey, so where's the rest of the people? I was like, well, it's just me. I remember one moment in this first research trip that I went to his house, and he had his car with a flat tire. And he's like, look, Gio, look at your famous rock star. I can't even fix my flat tire. You know, and when he told me that, I was like, we got to change this.
What started as a story for Gio's blog ballooned into a feature-length documentary about Jaggery's life and the story of Zamrock.
For the film, Gio invited some musicians he knew to come down to Zambia and jam with Jaggery, which snowballed into putting on a Witch concert in the capital, Lusaka.
Initially, yes, you know, I just wanted to tell his story, and I thought his story would end there, but the story kept on evolving and still is evolving.
Since the end of the documentary in 2019, Jaggery, Gio, and a new formation of Witch have gone on to tour throughout Europe, Australia, and the US. During the COVID lockdown, they got back into the studio and recorded a new album called Zango.
By the time you realize I'll be gone, you better change my tip before it's too late.
Gio is now managing the band, and Jaggery is fronting with the same energy he had back in his prime.
It's kind of, in a way, strange to live out the dream of your 20s in your 70s, you know, because clearly when they were fronting, they were at their prime in the 70s. Their dream was to tour the States, was to tour Europe, was to rule, like, for the band to be known worldwide, and it's happening now 50 years after.
Jake came through with Jaggery's number, and I messaged him on WhatsApp, but he didn't respond right away. So we reached out to one of his new band members instead to ask her about the new Witch tour and see if she could put in a good word for us with Jaggery.
Teresa Nambi is a singer-songwriter who was born in Zambia in 1983, just as Zamrock was fading away and disco was taking over the airwaves. Also a solo artist, Teresa is now touring the world with Witch as a singer. She's known Jaggery for years and thinks of him like family.
At that time I was just excited that I'm doing this with Uncle Jaggery. And this is the man of the lead man of the witch. Please, me, Teresa. I felt lucky. I felt blessed just to be in that space. It felt like it's a new beginning.
Very few female artists were part of Zamrock in the early days.
Culture does not really look at art as a respectable job that a woman should do. It's really not easy. It's tough. It's the toughest. And I do really respect the women that were there back then.
Witch's World Tour has been a huge success, playing packed shows from Calgary, Canada to Melbourne, Australia.
I've never seen such big love in my life. It was so, so good. People really respect Witch and the music there. Even just the way Jaggery, the way he responds to the people and how they love to hear him, very calm and very fatherly. You know, just that really, it's just made a difference in my life. Yeah, it was like heaven, you know. I imagine heaven to be a place of peace with so much love, or that was my heaven.
After Witch's tour, Jaggery is back home in Zambia with his family. Our producer Kaylee tried to call him.
All right, let's call Jaggery.
Hi, this is Kaylee.
Connection problem.
That's okay. Can you hear me now?
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The connection is not good. Oh, yeah, you're breaking up.
He didn't have good enough service for a phone call, so he sent voice notes over WhatsApp to Kaylee instead.
Hey, Terry, my name is Emmanuel Jaggery Chanda. Yes, I'm the frontman for the Witch Band.
Jaggery is now in his 70s and still living in northern Zambia. He still loves music, but after Zamrock's heyday, he didn't continue his life as a rock star. Jaggery got sober and was born again in the Pentecostal church. His minister told him that he could only play church music.
In the mid-80s to 2000, I had no hope of going back onto the stage or doing what I love doing. What I was created to do, to make music and perform it.
Jaggery traded his guitar for a pickaxe and shovel. He and his wife raised their 4 children and later their grandchildren, and he supported them by mining for amethysts.
Yes, I missed music when I went to do mining, gemstone mining, because that is what I'm created to do. It's in me, it's in my blood. So when I'm not practicing it, it itches. It's like you've got something inside that's itching and you need oiling.
We asked him to sing us a little something.
I love the songs that come from the heart, you know, inspired by experience. One of them is A Strange Dream. Drifting on the now with Marianne, on a small boat feeling free, searching for the place at the shore to hide my face. A light felt so nice. We sat under the mountain and seeing water run, and we saw snails being caught. All of a sudden the devil kissed my face. She was gone. But where are you going? You're leaving me alone. Come on, get me out of this place. That's one of my favorite songs.
Jaggery was out of the music scene until about 2010, when he got a call from a fellow Zamrocker, Ricky Elilonga. Ricky was the frontman for the band Musio Tunia.
A friend of mine, Ricky Elilonga, is also one of the pioneers of Zamrock.
was living in Denmark, and he learned about people bootlegging our music. They had been compiling music from Zambia on the pretext that most Zambian musicians had died of AIDS, so they didn't know who to approach and link up with. Of course, it was not true. They didn't dig hard enough.
Ricky told Jaggery to talk to Egon Allapatt, owner of Now Again Records in Los Angeles, who wanted to reissue their music. Egon flew Jaggery to Spain and later to Los Angeles, where they met up and talked music. By 2012, Egon and Jaggery agreed on terms to reissue the Witch catalog through Now Again Records.
And we concluded the deal, and the music had started being reissued. Now other people were listening to that music, and they were saying, where was this music? How come we didn't hear about the Zam Rock? The rest is history. Now, that documentary, we intend to cause havoc, plus the reissuance of the witch music, that combined is what has steered interest in people. And we would like to see that and listen to that music in person. Fortunately, this is how God has allowed me to revisit my something that I love doing, music. And now he has opened doors for me. I'm traveling around the world sharing this music with his grace.
As one of the last remaining Zamrockers, Jaggery hopes to inspire young musicians to leave their own mark on the world.
It's not easy to create something that can be accepted worldwide, something like Zamrock. And I would like the youngsters to share that. I would like to pass that on to the younger generation, and hoping that they carry on the torch of Zamrock and also the fusion of African music with the foreign other musics, and see if we can share some creativity, some originality. I would like to contribute to say, even in Zambia, something came out of Zambia known as Zamrock.
Zamrock, to me, deserves to be on the same level of fame and recognition that the Mona Lisa has. And honestly, I think it deserves it a lot more.
The music just, I can't explain it, but it's imprinted on me and stayed with me over the years.
From all the tours that I've had with The Witch, there's just been so much love and people coming together. That is something you know that you are in the right direction and you're making an impact. Baby, lost without you.
Since you left me. Some people thought that they were crazy when they were making this music because they were singing in English over these rock beats. They now have a cult following. So I always encourage the younger artists, like, look, make whatever music you want to make, because you never know who will fall in love with it out there.
What I really do hope is that eventually the band and the music, you know, is something that should be respected around the world, and I think it's slowly getting there.
Thanks for listening to Vinyl Revival. Our show was produced by undergraduate and graduate students at the Philip Merrill College of Journalism at the University of Maryland, College Park. I'm your host, Lily Howard.
And I'm Kate Kelly. Vinyl Revival was executive produced by myself, along with Kaylee Fox Shannon. Hyun Lee is our sound producer.
Reporting and editing by Aaron Arnstein, Lily Howard, Kate Kelly, Hyun Lee, Matt Levis, Brian Melanson, Jack Perry, Kaylee Fox Shannon, and Hayden Sweeney. Artwork by Lily Howard.
Thanks to National Public Radio for the use of their studio and to our professor, Robert Little.